You're listening to Customer Perspective, an Ipsos podcast. This is Season 6, Episode 5.
And welcome to our latest episode of Season 6 of Customer Perspective. I'm Helen Wilson, Global Chief Experience Officer for our Ipsos CX and Channel Performance business. And today I'm joined by a couple of colleagues from our Channel Performance business at Ipsos. So we have Craig Bradley, who leads Channel Performance across the globe, and Stuart Wood, our Product Leader for Shopper. We were truly delighted to welcome our Shopper teams into Channel Performance at the start of the year. And I invited Craig and Stuart along to tell us more.
Recognising that our listeners out there might not know you quite as well as I do, tell us who you are and what you get up to at Ipsos, if you would, please. Craig, why don't we start with you?
Sure. Thanks, Helen. Nice to be here. So I'm Craig Bradley. I'm a proud New Zealander based here in Seattle, USA. And I look after the global channel performance business. So my job is to make sure we've got the best teams, the best technology, servicing our clients all around the world in the best manner, and ensuring that we deliver our business effectively and efficiently for our clients. So that's my role. And nice to meet you, Helen, although I know you very well.
It's nice to see you, Craig. It's lovely to see you. And it's lovely to see you too, Stuart. So you're looking very, very cool there, very in control in your bright red chair in the middle of London. So tell us more, Stuart. Who are you? What do you get up to?
Absolutely, Helen. So glad to be here. So I lead the global shopper practice, which sits within Channel Performance. My role really is to inspire, guide, and support the Ipsos teams around the world that implement shopper research, and also to make sure that clients get the best value and impact out of the work that we do. And we really focus very heavily around e-commerce and new omnichannel retail.
I always like it when somebody speaks to best impact. In fact, I'm sitting here at the moment curating a collection of impact stories for our business, which I am loving reading and I'll be sharing shortly. So we're liking that impact bit and indeed the rest. Right. So I mentioned that Shopper joined Channel Performance at the beginning of the year. Craig, let me come to you. It would be helpful to better understand why that was so. What was the thinking behind bringing that part of the business together with Channel Performance?
Yeah, mostly it's about our clients. I mean, that's what we do try and pride ourselves on at Ipsos, is what are our clients asking? What are their questions? And what is the best way to deliver those? So a service line that we call at Ipsos, which is a group of services that Ipsos is providing in terms of research solutions, typically falls into, you know, a category where we're having clients mirror that organization on their side. So we have a lot of people now who are called shopper and channel, or channel management, or, you know, shopper performance, or that kind of thing. So we're trying to mirror what our clients are organized around in terms of their research needs. But the other reason for it was the channel performance business is a high growth area. We're very commercial. We're out there talking to the kinds of client leads that perhaps other parts of the organization are not speaking to as much. So we're talking to retail leaders, CMOs, COOs, and training people, which a lot of Ipsos in terms of its traditional research is not. So bringing Shopper in also gave us the benefit for our clients of being able to give them this real end-to-end solution, like understand and then measure and then drive. So understand channels and shoppers, measure virtually and physically what's going on in the channel, and then finally send in customers to see what's really going on at the moment of truth. So that was one of the big reasons that we did that. And I think it's been a great harmonious marriage. We've got about 40, 50 people that came in from the shopper organization to join around 400 people in channel performance already around the world. So we're in 40 countries. We've now got the offer of Shopper probably in a dozen of those where we're really strong. And that also benefits our teams in those places who are able to better serve their clients in this way.
So you talk there about that whole idea of mirroring clients in terms of the way they're organized. Can you, I guess, bring that to life? So in terms of perhaps some of the ways that our clients are working with us, and back to that word from Stuart at the start, that impact by working with us along those services, as it were, the impact it's having on their business.
Yeah, I mean, we've got these five services that bring channel performance and shopper together. So we start with channel sizing, what we call channel sizing. I'll explain that in a client context in a second. Yeah. Then we have shopper insights. Then we have virtual environment testing. Then we have retail execution audits. And then we have mystery shopping. So a client might be, for example, a bottler, you know, somebody who's making alcoholic beverages. They might be in Africa. And they may want to expand into a country where they haven't been before. So we would come along and help them size the channel. What's the distribution look like? Where are the competitors retailing? Where would they be delivering their product to? What's the footprint in that country? So we do some desk research. We do some in-person work to go out there and go into retailers, you know, trade stores and that kind of thing, and find out some of that information. So we size the channel for them. Then we would turn around and look at the shopper insights, shopper behavior. So what are their shoppers thinking before they go in to buy their product? If they don't find their product, what do they go to? If they don't see it on the shelf and will see a price that they don't agree with, what product do they default to? So we're going to try and understand the shopper behavior. Then what we might do for them is set up a virtual environment. So either a shelf or a store where we can have a shopper virtually go into that store or look at that shelf and understand their behavior at that kind of point of sale or point of moment of truth. Then what we do is go into the physical store and say, right, now you've got your channel is understood, your shopper is understood, you know what's going to happen in the virtual environment. Now what about what's happening on the shelf? So let's go into these locations and see, were they priced, were they packaged correctly, were they promoted correctly, were they beside the products you expected them to be? If you bought eye-level shelving, was it there? That kind of thing. Finally, we may send a mystery shopper in to actually buy the product and see if the service model was correct, make sure the staff were friendly, make sure they paid the price they should have. So in a very end-to-end kind of narrative offer, that would be how we kind of understand, measure, and drive. So understanding shopper and channel, measuring shopper and channel, and then driving performance improvements. So there's the elevator pitch, probably a 100-floor elevator pitch, but certainly if we had a tall building, I would have got through that. Yeah. But that's kind of
that last line. That'd be right, a three floor, wouldn't it? Or maybe you're kind of your one escalator. Exactly. Oh, that could be good, right, yeah. Right. Okay, so just to that point, all joking apart, so you talked about that kind of end to end of going all the way through from channel sizing all the way in effect to ensuring that the right things are being done from an experience perspective. And indeed, of course, that also extends to compliance and so forth as well. But are you finding, again, back to that point of mirroring your clients, are they doing the end to end or do they sort of come in and do bits two and three? Walk me through how that works well together in terms of those services complementing each other.
Sure. I mean, our business, if you look at the Ipsos business of channel performance, about 80% of it's mystery shopping. So the way our business is at the moment, the bulk of our clients are measuring that piece. About 20% is shopper insights, and then the rest is, 10 or 12% or whatever, I didn't do the math correctly, but the rest of that business is around shopper or retail execution or virtual environment testing. So I think maybe, can we do that question again?
Yeah, of course we can.
Okay, go back.
So Craig, you spoke there about that whole concept of end-to-end all the way through from sizing the channel, so understanding the potential to expand in effect or to enter, right the way through to delivering the experience and then assessing it. And indeed, of course, you can also talk about assessing, ask the question again. That was a really shit way of asking a question. Like, we will nail this, Alan. So Craig, you spoke there about that whole concept of end-to-end understanding and measuring. Is it the case that our clients are always going end to end, or what are the sort of services bundles, I guess? What are the kind of business questions that are working together in any one program, for example?
Yeah, I think the answer to that question is our clients are doing all this. So they are generally trying to understand channels and shoppers and measure and drive performance. They're sometimes not doing it all with Ipsos. So we do have this end to end offer, which is great. But the bulk of our clients are doing the measurement at the front end or the brand compliance, which is mystery shopping, or they're doing the shopper insights work. The channel sizing, virtual environment testing, retail execution work is being done by our clients. It's a smaller part of the Ipsos business, but it's definitely something that we offer and that we're growing in. So our clients are doing it. We are seeing some clients who are doing the end-to-end solution, But more clients with us are doing pieces of it. They may do retail execution and mystery shopping, or shopper and mystery shopping, or channel sizing and retail execution. So that's something that we're now bringing together with shopper and channel performance to ensure our clients can come to us and perform that end-to-end service.
Yeah. And I think, Craig, a great example of that is the work that we do for Samsung. So Samsung is our biggest shopper client. We do a global program where we understand how those people are purchasing in store from a human shopper perspective. But we also do a mystery shopping component to actually measure key KPIs and performance indicators of specific store setup and interactions as well.
So, Stuart, bringing you in still, if I may, I'd really like to delve a little deeper in terms of the whole shopper element. So you talked about understanding behavior in terms of driving the decision maker. And of course, I know that you work very closely with our behavioral science experts. Tell me more about how that works in terms of, I guess, bringing together the shopper insights, that absolute understanding of the sector, and of course, that behavioral science lens.
So behavioral science is really about understanding human behavior. So it's about how we think in terms of our cognitive processes, and all of the things that bias us, such as, you know, risk aversion, scarcity, anchoring, etc., as well as understanding motivation, social influences, and the contextual influences that drive people's decision making. So it's really around how people think and act, and by understanding that from a behavioral perspective, what we can therefore do is set a better context in which products and services are presented, and we can create the right interventions or nudges that will encourage people to buy our products. So that's essentially what we do. Some kind of examples would be you could do a behavioral science audit of a particular store, so you understand all of the interventions, POS material, and things that exist within that store. But you also need to go a little bit deeper, because, you know, we see and interact with what we want to. You know, we don't see everything perfectly within a retail environment, because we're, as shoppers, we're very task orientated. So I think you need to understand the context in which someone is seeking something, to understand how they will interact with that particular element. And also, behavioral science is about setting up experimental design to understand how people behave in response to a particular stimulus. So, for example, we did a study for a laundry product where we tested different elements of labeling on the packaging to communicate how important it was to close the packaging and to you know, not let your kids eat these attractive looking laundry pods. And so, you know, we did that by simply asking people to, in a mock-up environment at home, once they'd purchased the product, to put it where they wanted. And so if they put it far away or in a locked cupboard, then we know that the communication to store that product safely worked much better. So it was, you know, it was a very behavioral experimental design approach.
Can I also get to grips with the concept of virtual environment testing? So you've both spoken about it or referenced it there, Stuart. Tell me more about that, because funny enough, I had this sort of view of how it worked. And I was speaking to Annalie, who heads up that particular area, yesterday. And normally I see, I don't know, grocery type products behind her in her screenshot. But yesterday I was seeing coffee machines behind her. Yeah. So it'd be really interesting to better understand more about that virtual environment testing, if you could bring that to life.
Yeah, I mean, the idea behind our SimStore platform is that we can really replicate any environment in which purchases are made. So we can simulate the in-store environment also the digital online environment through websites. And it's about putting people in the context and giving them the realistic stimulus that they would experience in a real shopping situation. What that allows us to do is to then simulate different scenarios. And by simulating those different scenarios, we can understand the impact of implementing those in real store. So, for example, I might do a planogram test, you know, going back to Craig's example, as a beer manufacturer. I might have different planogram options of how I'd like to arrange my brands and range in store. And we can test planogram A, planogram B, planogram C, and we can see which is most effective in driving visibility of the brand, what people choose, and perhaps driving overall category sales. So it's really about optimizing the environment before you implement it in store. And
the advantage, and I'll shut up.
And I was saying the advantages are really that it's much more cost effective to implement because we can do it as an online survey, so we can reach a very broad range of people. You don't have to have those executions set up in store, because what virtual testing really does is replaces the need to do that kind of research in physical stores.
Thanks, Joe. That really helps. I'm going to take the conversation in a different direction, if I may. So the pair of you are dealing with teams around the world, dealing with clients around the world on an ongoing basis, day in, day out. But of all those clients, and I'm sure you don't necessarily want to name them, but of those clients you're seeing out there, what are they doing in the case of those leading organizations? What are you seeing that's absolute gold standard best practice in terms of channel measurement and channel performance? What's really impressing you out in the marketplace at the moment? Craig, you're on mute.
I think from my perspective, tongue in cheek a little bit here, but the ones working with Ipsos are clearly the gold standard. the clients that are doing, you know, the end-to-end solutions, obviously, or parts of those, are seeing the benefit of integrating that data and not just making decisions in isolation. So I'm always a big fan of saying, you know, you can't just take one piece of data and make a big business decision on it, because it may mean something different in context. So, for example, you may be getting great mystery shopping scores, but it's because you have very few customers coming into your location. So, of course, they're good. Conversely, your retail audits might be exceptional, but it's because nobody actually buys anything off the shelf. So it always stays there. So I think when we see organizations doing that, it's really powerful. The other thing I see from organizations is they're constantly seeking new ways of doing business. So I really love working with companies who are asking questions that we can answer, not coming to us with a solution they've already thought through or think they know. So for me, the gold standard is continuously seeking to integrate data, asking more questions, and kind of pushing for what's next, what can they understand from this data stream, this image, this video, this interaction we're having in a store or a virtual environment. So to me, that's the real gold standard with our client organizations.
And it's interesting, isn't it, that point you talk about in terms of putting so much data to work, and it can be incredibly complex. But I was listening to one of our colleagues, Andy Firth, talk the other day, and he was pulling together huge amounts of complex data sets, really sophisticated type modeling. But at the end of the day, what he was doing for his clients was asking the question, how do we help you sell more watches? And if we were to do X, Y, and Z, it would bring about this financial return. And it really is bringing that nub in terms of, at the end of the day, with all this clever research, all this clever analytics, what does it mean for the business? What is the impact financial performance wise if you were to do X, Y, Z? Right back to your point, Stuart, at the top of this podcast. Is there anything from your end, Stuart, that you're seeing out there that Craig hasn't mentioned? So we're talking about really putting data to work, about seeking new ways of doing business. What for you does great look like right now?
I think great could mean a number of different things. And I think what we're seeing is in the world of convergent commerce, I think, you know, e-commerce isn't a homogenous thing anymore. People don't just buy in store or buy online. E-commerce channels vary tremendously in what they offer, how people shop. And as a consequence, what companies need to do is they need to strategize and activate differently within those channels. So the best companies out there are making the most of each individual channel. Mm-hmm. So they're making sure, A, they're in the channels where people want to buy products, and B, that they know what those motivations are and what the best products are to reach people. So, for example, we did a project for Unilever where they looked at two of their key e-commerce channels in France, and they're very different channels. If you're shopping for oral care in a supermarket versus shopping on Amazon, your motivations and what you're looking for and what you're receptive to is really very different. And so that the type of research that we do there really helps them to really nail their channel strategy very specifically. It's very hard for us to prove the true monetary impact of doing that work. But clearly, you know, the client teams and the channel teams recognize the benefits of the insight that it delivers. Mm-hmm. And they made some significant changes to how they do things and really learned a lot from that kind of study.
So staying with the kind of things that are exciting you, I asked you about what you're seeing in the wider world. If you come home, Craig, you said that you loved it when you have clients who come to you with those innovative ways of doing business, of posing those questions rather than coming with the solutions. And I've got a funny feeling that innovation is going to be one of the things that excites you at Ipsos. But tell us more. What makes you happy at Ipsos?
Yeah, there's a few things. I think innovation and technology is exciting. We're moving far more into the virtual environments. We're seeing really big changes in the 3D world and how we can actually create stores and create, you know, websites that are very interactive and real and feel like you're actually there, which is pretty incredible. So that's exciting. I think another thing exciting for me is the new sectors that we're getting into. So we traditionally, as a business at Ipsos, have had a lot of CPG clients, you know, consumer packaged goods. We've, since that time, we still work with a lot of those companies, but we've moved into the tech space. So most of the big tech companies you can name are now working with us and in channel performance. In recent years, since the pandemic, we've gone into the more resilient sectors such as food service and luxury. So we're seeing a lot of clients in that area. And food service is now about 10% of our business annually for channel performance. So that's exciting. Then we have clients in the transport sector. You know, you name it. It's kind of interesting the work we do. So I find that really exciting from a growth point of view. The other thing is we've done several acquisitions over the years. We're working on a couple now, one in Shopper and one in Mystery Shopping. And that really excites me. I love that. love that work. I love getting into that because we do get to welcome teams to a new home. They come here. They love it. We've got such a great culture in Ipsos and in channel performance that I'm really proud of. And so I find that the most exciting thing that I can do every day is to try and integrate these new teams and bring them into a new home at Ipsos.
Well, I have to say, Stuart, as a most recently integrated team, I'm seeing you smiling. I'm seeing that it's working. I'm seeing you're happy to be
absolutely
part of
Channel Performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't feel like you have to say that, Stuart.
Yeah. Good. That's good. Right. Okay. I will have a conversation with you before 3 years' time. But if we were to be having a conversation in 3 years' time, what are we going to be talking about? So Craig, you alluded there to the future of tech. And it might be you're going in that direction or you might not. What are we going to be talking about in 3 years' time?
I think in 3 years, we'll still be doing a lot of the same things because there is a need for us to measure both the virtual and physical environments. And I think we've seen from the pandemic that even though people had to stay away from physical locations, they've gone back in droves because it's a very enjoyable experience. It brings communities together. It's a place where we kind of gather and interact. You know, if we look back at human history, we've always gathered around watering holes and then, you know, now it's shopping centers. And so I think people yearn for that physical contact. So that's never going to go away. How we measure it may change. And so I think in 3 years' time, we'll be using a lot more passive data collection through video, through voice. And without being creepy about it, then we'll, of course, have artificial intelligence to go and analyze some of that data and tell us what it's saying, because it is very accurate. It's extremely good at predicting future behavior. And I think that'll help our clients understand their businesses in a more in a richer way. So I think in 3 years' time, we're just going to see a lot more of that data collection going on, a lot more data integration. But people are still going to be out there at physical locations shopping because we all love it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that because I think fundamentally people's motivations are not going to change that much. But I think what we've seen, you know, I mean, who knows what's going to happen in 3 years' time if you take the last 3 years? Because I think the biggest thing that impacts Shopper is really the broader contextual environment and the macro forces. So, you know, we've seen COVID that drove people away from physical stores. We've seen inflation about how that impacts, you know, what people choose to buy and where they spend their money. And we've seen increasing, ESG trends in terms of sustainability and how that influences what people buy. So all of those things have an influence. And I think what's important for us is to continue to measure that, because the context changes. And as the context changes, we need to understand that. But also there are going to be increasing complete changes in the retail, particularly the digital retail, and increased fragmentation, new channels. I mean, we've seen the emergence of things like live streaming that's, you know, 3 years ago hardly existed. Yeah. And we've seen the massive growth of TikTok, and so we just don't know what the next big trend in digital commerce is going to be. So tech will always be that underlying thing that will change everything, and will hopefully always keep us busy and excited about what we're doing.
Just to that point, I asked that question 2 years ago of Kate Fannin, who came on to the podcast from Estee Lauder. And I interviewed one of her colleagues from Estee Lauder last week, and she responded back 2 years later and had listened to her forecast. And I have to say, Kate Fannin of Estee Lauder did an extremely good job. So that's the benchmark of great forecasting. So I will be comparing the two of you to the Estee Lauder greats, just to see how good you're at it. But just to that point you were making there around global trends, You spoke earlier on about that whole importance of the kind of micro trends, and then you brought in that macro trends. For any of our listeners, I would just point you to the recently published Ipsos Global Trends. And whilst you were speaking, I was just looking up the data around that. Interviewed more than 48,000 people across more than 50 markets, representing 87% of the global economy. So frankly, if you want to know about what's going on in the wider world, there aren't many better sources than that. So that's something that I'd encourage our listeners to check out. Another couple of things that are worth looking at associated with the conversation we've been having today. We had the Morphing Store, which talks to the future of bricks and mortar. Of course, we've got an awful lot in regard to convergent commerce and the ecosystems that are brought up there. And something that I'm just about to publish was written by our colleagues who work in the channel sizing space, but specifically around how to trade how to assess illicit trade. And that for me is really interesting, because you're then working in really challenging markets, typically in very challenging sectors, with really complex business questions to better understand that sort of illicit trade. So lots of great stuff available for you to check out, and indeed to look forward to. But in the meantime, I'd like to say thank you so much, Craig, to you for coming on. That's Craig Bradley, CEO of our global channel performance business, and to Stuart Wood, our global head of shopper. Thank you both so much for your time today.
No problem, Helen. Enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to Customer Perspective, an Ipsos podcast. New episodes will be made available every 2 weeks, so make sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app to get the episodes sent straight to you. We're also available on Spotify.